Now I'm going to talk to you now about falling in love. And falling in love is an experience. If you've never done it, you know, it can be wonderful. It can be awful painful. It can be great, and it can be a mess. And you say, well, Brother Danny, I don't ever want to be in love again. I hate being in love. It's nothing but trouble, all that. But I want to talk to you tonight about falling in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to be in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I don't mean that bad. We ought to love Him. We ought to love Him. And we're going to ask you about how much you love Jesus. You need to fall in love with Jesus Christ. You know how it is when you fall in love with somebody? When you fall in love with somebody, they dominate your thoughts. That's all you can think about. And you don't have to try. You don't have to say, all right, I'm going to better put my mind on them a while. You can't get it off of them. When you fall in love with somebody, you won't. What's best for them. You want them to be happy. When you fall in love with somebody, you want to make sure they get what they want. When you fall in love with somebody, you don't want to do anything that would hurt them. Or, you know, if you really love somebody, that's the way you feel toward them. You just want their life to be perfect. Now, a lot of this stuff we got going around nowadays ain't love at all. Our generation don't know much about love. Our generation is in love with herself. The Bible said in the last days, men shall be lovers of their own self. These boys that get these girls out here on the weekend, they ain't known them but a week and say, oh, honey, I love you. He's just a lying devil. He loves his self. He loves his self. Love is love. When you love something or someone, you want them to do right. You want what's best for them. And you want to make them happy. You want to please them, you know. It's not just like, you please me, you please me, you please me. You want to make that person happy. And I believe if you love the Lord, you want to do what makes the Lord happy. You serve Him. We ought to serve God and the Lord because we love Him. It's not how much you love being a Christian, but how much do you love Jesus. I'm not asking you tonight how much you love the church. I believe you ought to love the church. I'm not asking how much you love the preacher. I know that. I think it's not. That's not important. How much do you love Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ. Have you ever asked yourself the question, do I love Him? Do I love Him? Now, my job and my desire as the pastor is to somehow or another make you folks fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what I hope to do. That's what I hope to do. Now, a lot of preachers evidently have a different idea. They think if I can just get everybody doing this, and I can just get everybody doing that, and everybody dressing right, and everybody cutting their hair right, and everybody quitting this and quitting that, buddy, we'll have a Spirit-filled church. Not necessarily. My job is to make you fall in love with Jesus. I know a lot of churches where the people in it have all kinds of convictions and all kinds of beliefs, but if that pastor died, it wouldn't last a week, most of them, because all they got's preacher religion. I want our church to be so that if I died tomorrow, that you folks just go right on living just like you know is right, because you love the Lord, not just because Brother Danny said this or Brother Danny thought that. I want you to do it because you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's the way it may... And I'll tell you something else. If you live for the Lord because you love Him, then you ain't going to just do it when somebody's looking. That makes you a real Christian. They say that what you do in the dark is what you are. Boy, according to that, we ain't much. And because that's when the real wickedness comes out. But if you really love God, even if you sin in the dark, there's going to be something in you saying, get right, get right, get right, get right. And you're going to have a consciousness going to bother you, and you're going to pray and get right with God. Now, tonight, let's talk about this. Now, there's a thing that you need to understand here. And let's turn over to Luke chapter 7 just a second. Before we read in John, I'm sorry. We'll get back to that in a second. But Luke chapter number 7, and this has bothered a lot of people. And
It says in Luke chapter 7, verse 41, that he forgave this person here. And verse 42, he forgave them both. And this woman wiped his head, his feet with her hairs of her head and all that kind of stuff. And he said, verse 47, Luke chapter 7, verse 47, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." Now what the Lord was saying there, the Lord was saying, normally, if a person's forgiven for a whole lot, they'll love a whole lot. Now that's messed up a lot of people, I believe, because they're saying, well, I got saved when I was little and I never did get out and do a whole bunch of wrong, so I don't love the Lord very much. Now, you ought to love the Lord as much or more than somebody that's been saved out of a life of prostitution or drugs or whatever, because of what the Lord saved you from. Normally, it is normal for a person to love the Lord more who's really been delivered out of a wicked life. I guess it's because they just realize what God's done for them. But if you'd start thinking about it, you that's never been out into deep sin, you that have never been out in liquor or done drugs or anything like that, you think about the Lord didn't just save you out of it. He saved you from ever even getting into it. And plus, you're saved from the same hell these other people are. I don't believe that you have to be a former drug addict to have a good testimony. I don't believe that. Matter of fact, I believe you got a better testimony if you've never been on drugs. Thank God for all the people who have a good testimony like that. I'm not belittling it. They must be... over the years, I've heard of so-and-so's going to have a crusade and ex-Hell's Angels going to give his testimony. And I've heard that they must have been 10 million Hell's Angels. Because every time you turn around, a Hell's Angel's giving his testimony. They sure must have been a lot of them got saved. And I'm going to go hear that. I bet that'd be good. Hell's Angel's going to give his testimony. Thank God for every Hell's Angel gets saved. But you don't have to be an ex-Hell's Angel to love Jesus. You don't have to be. You can be raised in church all your life and never put a cigarette to your lips or liquor or beer or anything and still love the Lord. The Bible said we love Him not because we used to be a drug addict, but because He first loved us. So don't let this scripture here mess you up. Now let's go back to John 21. He's talking to old Simon Peter here after his resurrection. And we're going to do a little study on this tonight. If you want to help me, you just jump right in here anywhere you want to. And the Lord will bless you if you'll help us tonight. Verse 15. John 21:15. "So when they had dined," like dinner, eat dinner, "Jesus saith unto Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he saith unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Three times the Lord asked Simon Peter, Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? I wonder if he'd asked us that question tonight, what would we say? There have been times in my Christian life that I would not have made it through if I didn't love the Lord in my heart. There's been times when it wasn't worth it for other things. There's been times when it wasn't worth it, maybe just worrying about what people thought about me or the church or friends or family or whatever. But what's kept me going in the hard times was deep down in my heart, I loved the Lord for what He's done for me. And I thought, man, I couldn't do it. I just couldn't do this to Jesus. How could I do it to Him? That song says, I love Him too much to fail Him now, too much to break my vow. I love Him too much. Listen, our commitment ought not to be to the preacher or to the church necessarily. All it's worked in together, and I think there's a certain amount when it can be. But our main commitment is to the Lord Jesus Christ.
the Lord Jesus Christ. How much do you love Him tonight? How much do you love Jesus Christ? You got to love Him, people. You got to look and see Him bleeding and dying on the cross for your sins and fall in love with Him. Just fall in love with Him. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. Here Jesus calls Him to answer three times, just exactly as Simon Peter had denied Him three times. He made Him reaffirm His love for Him three times. Now the Lord said to Him that one time, He said this. He said, Simon Peter, lovest thou Me more than these? More than these. You ever thought about that? More than these. What did the Lord mean? Lovest thou Me more than these? What was Jesus looking at? Maybe He was representing the net and His fishing career. See, there's fishing. That's what Peter was before he got saved. He is a fisherman. And then when he lost his hope in the Lord and the Lord was crucified, Peter kind of backslid and cussed, denied the Lord, and went back fishing. And when he went back out there fishing, the Lord said, do you love Me more than these? He might have meant that net and that fish and that boat and all of that. That's a good question, isn't it? That's a good question. Lovest thou Me more than these? Well, there's a lot of Christians I know that get up at 4 o'clock in the morning for a fish and a boat, but wouldn't get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to come to a men's prayer meeting. Now think about that. Now, don't y'all think about that now. Oh, Brother Danny, you done quit preaching and gone to meddling. No, I'm quit meddling and going to preaching. I know a lot of Christian men over the years that would get up for a fishing boat at 4 o'clock. And if you do that, that's all right. I don't care if you do or not. But I tell you, when we have all night prayer meeting, suddenly they say, well, I can't stay up here and pray. I got to get up early in the morning. I got to go to work, preacher. I got to do this. Wonder how come we can jump up in the middle of the night and go hunt a deer or a bear or whatever. And like I said, if you do, that's fine. I don't care if you do. If I want to, I would. But listen, I'd feel mighty bad about that if I wasn't willing to do it for Jesus. People ask me, they say, how in the world do you drive home on Saturday night and come to church on, like from Alabama or somewhere like that? And I do that. I don't like to. I don't like to. But I do that because I figure, if I was out in sin, I'd run around half a night for the devil. And you would too, wouldn't you? How many of y'all remember when you was out in sin? You know, oh, come on over Friday night. We're going to have a big time. You'd sit there at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, shooting the bull, breeze, you know, whatever, and playing cards and drinking and everything, and get up and go to work on Saturday morning or Monday morning, stay up half a night. But suddenly when it's church, you know, it's the other way around, it's for the Lord, we can't do it. Y'all know that's true. We ought to love the Lord, ain't that right? We ought to love Him for what He's done for us. I mean, we used to get out here, we these boys used to run around, we'd done what we called camping out. We didn't have a tent or nothing, we called it camping out. We'd bounce a basketball all over Nebo. When I was 15, 16 years old. Just bounce a ball, throw it, run down the road, you know, try and do tricks with it, spin it on our finger, and then we'd just hang out all night long, set up down there at the store, and stay up all night long. And I did that just to be doing something. And then I got saved, and we started talking about all night prayer meetings, and my flesh said, no, I got to go to sleep. It's a sin to abuse your body like that. You know, and I tell you, we better check and see if we love the Lord. We better check and see if we love the Lord. Whatever it is you have, be willing to lay it down. Peter, you love Me more than these? What is your net and fish tonight? What is your net and fish? I know people that love the TV programs probably more than they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You say, now, Brother Danny, this is supposed to be just a Bible study. Yeah, I know it, but I'm a sorry teacher. And it's hard for me to teach without throwing a few licks in now and then. I'm telling you, man, there's something wrong with us if we love TV shows more than we love the Lord Jesus Christ. I told you what happened to me years ago, back when Dallust was popular. Dallust was the most popular TV show in Dynasty. Back, it's been 10 years ago or whenever that was, back in the late 80s, I can't remember when. And I was in Michigan, and I was up there preaching, and this guy was over at his house, and I preached real hard on it one night. About Wednesday night, I preached real hard on it. I said, that stuff's wicked. I said, you ought not to let your kids sit and listen to that stuff. You fill your mind full of that garbage. I mean, I laid it on. Well, we went up to this fellow's house to eat pizza. acts of service. And he's sitting there and he said, now people disagree on things. He said, now some of the shows you don't like, I like. And I said, what? He said, some of those TV shows you was talking about, the ones that you don't like, I like. And I said, I don't believe I remember saying anything about me liking anything or not liking anything. You know what that nut thought? He thought, well, that preacher don't like that show, but I do like that show. Let me tell you something, buddy. It ain't got nothing to do with what you like. Some people like to drink blood. So what? Some people enjoy molesting kids. Some people like to shoot dope up in their arm. That don't mean nothing. I'm not preaching to what I like or what you don't like. I'm preaching what's right and what's wrong. And I told him that. I said, that ain't got nothing to do with what I like or what I don't like. That's beside the point. It's what's right and what's wrong. He said, well, like Dallas, he said, that's my favorite show. And I said, well, whatever, you know. It's free country. You can do whatever. It's your business. And so I preached that. And it was on Friday nights when Dallas to come on back then. And I got to church that night. And I said, well, I know he won't be here tonight. And man, I tell you what. I got up to preach and looked, and there he was, him and his family. I said, glory to God, hallelujah, we've had revival. Amen. God has done a work in this church. Michigan, that's a big thing in Michigan. You wouldn't believe the things teenage girls said to me in Michigan. You wouldn't believe it. I mean, ungodly things. Just come right up and say, talking about Prince when I preached on it and stuff, and just things to me. You wouldn't believe it. I couldn't even tell you in a mixed congregation. 14, 15-year-old girls. And that guy was sitting there with his family, and I said, hallelujah, we've had revival. Amen. The Lord's blessing. God's going to do great things here tonight. He gave up Dallas and came to church. Well, we got together that night, and we was eating. Had some pizza or something like that. And got together, and we was over at one of them's house. And I said, boy, that's a blessing, man. God's really done a work. About that time, a kid come running in and said, Daddy, guess what? You're going to be mad that the VCR didn't go on when it's supposed to, and it didn't tape it, and you missed Dallas. I said, well, I'll be doggone, man. I thought, I wish I hadn't heard that. I thought, man, God has used me. That fella's gave it up. I thought, that sorry thing. Had that VCR programmed in to tape that so he could watch it when he come home. Listen, it's a sad day. I bet he didn't have to get the videotape if he missed a church service. I bet if he missed, that same bunch went camping on weekend. I bet you didn't say, now be sure and tape the service. I don't want to miss it. I want to hear it. It's very evident that a lot of people don't love Jesus more than these. Very evident. Do you love him more than these? Do you love him more than these? I was talking about, we had a coaches meeting a while ago, our sports program getting ready to start up at the school. And we tell the kids all the time, listen, sports are okay in their place. But you better make sure you love the Lord Jesus. And I want to tell all our teenagers, listen, basketball, softball, baseball, I mean, them things are okay in their place. Just like a bodily exercise profiteth a little. But listen, buddy, you better love Jesus Christ more than any of it. Because when one of these days you're going to die, and I don't care how good a ball player you are, it ain't going to help you one bit. You're going to face him one day. He's the one that loved you enough to die for you, and that's all that's going to matter. Do you love me more than these? You know what I heard? You got to be willing to lay it down. Peter was willing to lay it down and follow him. You know why we go on visitation? Because we think, man, he loved us enough to die for him. The least we can do is love somebody else enough to go and talk to them. One time a missionary nurse in China was helping these lepers in China, people dying with leprosy. And this nurse was going in there and she was crawling in these huts and it was filth and death, full of disease. And she's just in there working with these lepers and helping them. And a man looked at her and he said, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And she looked up at him and said, I wouldn't either. But for the love, for the Lord Jesus Christ, I would. I would. Now you think about that. What I wouldn't do for $1 million, I'd do for Jesus. That's what she said.
And that's the truth. I know a lot of missionaries that left home and family and friends, gone to a foreign country. I wouldn't do that for $1 million. If you gave me $1 million and said move to China, I wouldn't do it. Would you? You're crazy if you would. I was telling kids sometime yesterday, day at school, about other countries. You don't, a lot of people say, oh, I'd just love to travel and visit other countries. You've believed that stuff you saw on the Rich and Famous, your problem. Believe me, you live in the best spot they are to live. We got the best atmosphere, we got the cleanest air, the cleanest water, the prettiest scenery. Right here in the mountains of North Carolina, you ain't going to beat it. All you're going to get better than this is heaven, and this is a long way from it. You don't want to go nowhere else. Man, when I was in Haiti 15 years ago, a Snickers bar was 75 cents, probably $3 now. A Snickers bar. Milk was $5 a gallon, probably $15 now, $15 a gallon. You couldn't even afford to eat. Raw sewage running down the street. Or they don't have no sewer system. Chickens and people worshiping demons and stuff like that. In Germany, they drink water, beer like it's water and just sit around. There's no God. It's just an eerie old feeling. In Ireland, the weather is sickening, man. It's sickening. And you can go somewhere where there's pretty wet weather. Los Angeles, and look at the perverts there. There ain't nothing out there. In Los Angeles, even in the United States. Lovest thou me more than these? I wouldn't move over down in them other countries for $1 million. But I hope I'd be willing to do it for Jesus if he called me to. How about you? He could have meant his friends. When the Lord said, lovest thou me more than these, he could have meant them other disciples and people around there. Here's where you young people need to ask yourself a question. Do I love Jesus more than my friends? I tell the teenage girls this once in a while, and I'm telling y'all tonight, and I'm telling you teenage boys here, and I want you to practice this. You say, I got a girlfriend, and I talk to her an hour every night on the phone. Well, your mom and dad shouldn't let you do that, first of all. Or they're just asking for trouble, not that much. And second, if you can talk to her for an hour, you ought to be able to talk to the Lord for an hour once in a while. Here's your prayer life. Lord, thanks for this day and thanks for everything done for me. And help mom and daddy in Jesus' name, amen. Here's your phone coming. What'd you do today? Then what'd you do? What'd you do after that? I did. You know what we done? You know, blah, 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 blah. Lovest thou me more than these, the Lord said. You mean I'm supposed to love Jesus more than I love my girlfriend? That's right. You mean I'm supposed to love Jesus more than I do my wife? That's right. You mean I'm supposed to love Jesus more than I love my children? That's right. Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me? If it come right down to it, would you stand for the Lord even against your family if you had to? Lovest thou me, the Lord said, more than these? More than these? Who is the these? It's whatever's around you. Whatever's around you. When it comes right down to it, will you please your friends? I'll never forget hearing Dr. Jack Hiles tell about that time when he was just a young man and he was saved and trying to live for God. And he is a pitcher on a baseball team. He's a good pitcher. Really was. He was a starting pitcher. And boy, they was going to have a ball game. And they was getting ready to have the playoff for the championship. And everybody got out there, you know, and it was championship day. And it just happened to be on Sunday evening. And he told them he wasn't going, that he was going to church. And son, they said they cussed him. They called him names. They said, you sorry, good for nothing. We'll lose without you. You're our pitcher and all of that. And brother, he missed the game and went to the house of God. And God used him. He built one of the greatest churches in the history of the church of 2,000 years. And now some of them other fellows wind up just blowing their life and losing it. You know why? He loved Jesus more than he loved what was around him. You've got to love Jesus more than you do your boyfriend. You've got to love Jesus more than you do your girlfriend. Hey, all you kids that's got boyfriend, girlfriend, and grown-ups, boyfriend, girlfriend, here's what you do. I dare you to do this. I dare you to do it. Sometime when they call, say, instead of talking an hour today, let's talk 5 minutes and pray for 50 minutes or so. You pray and I'll pray. Do it.
Do it. You're supposed to love Jesus more than you love them. Do it once in a while. I tell my wife that once in a while. She won't talk, and I'll say, let's talk to the Lord. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I do tell her that sometimes. I remember I'm going to say, Hunt, would you hush? I'm letting the Lord talk to me. Because she can talk, man. She can talk. She really can. Like if you want to carry on a conversation with her, you won't get bored because she can rattle it off. And all women can. Everyone I've ever met can. And I tell you what, brother. You know what? We ought to be able to talk to the Lord. We ought to be able to talk to the Lord, shouldn't we? Couldn't we? Talk to the Lord. Some of you ladies get together. You say, well, I just call so-and-so about every day and me and her talk for a little while. I mean, that's fine, but how much you talk to the Lord? How much you talk to the Lord? Here's why you talk to him. Oh, yeah? Well, I'll be. Well, you know what I done? I went down there, and you know, and then I did this, and then I did that. And then I did it, and then I went, did you? Well, tell me what else you been doing? On and on and on. And then here's your prayer life. Lord, thanks for this day. Thanks for being good to me. Help mom and daddy, and bless the church. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it. Lovest thou me more than these? Lovest thou me more than these? How about your convictions? How about this church attendance business? Y'all gonna go to church on Thanksgiving weekend when your family comes to visit you, or Christmas? It always puts you on the spot when Christmas comes on Sunday. Guess what? Christmas on Wednesday this year. Christmas Day on Wednesday. People say, surely you're not going to have church. It's the Lord's birthday. You know, how stupid. That's the whole reason we're supposed to have Christmas, man. Now, you know, if you're not gone out of town or gone something, you ought to be at church. Amen. Your relatives will think you're crazy. But you need to love Jesus. Love Jesus. Your convictions. You know what they'll do? You know what your relatives will do? They'll put the pressure on you when you go stay with them to go see a movie or go see, you've been caught in this position, right? Or they'll put something on TV that you know is not right, or music, and you think, uh-oh, what am I going to do? And you start thinking, man, if I just sit here, I feel like I'm doing wrong with the Lord. But if I get up and walk out, they're going to think, I'm going to hurt their feelings. Well, I don't know what you're going to do. I'm not going to be a smart aleck to them, but I'm going to try to put the Lord first and honor Him. Man, when our family used to get together a long time ago, before they even got right with God, all of them, we'd all get together for Christmas and have a big dinner. And of course, they'd ask me to pray, you know. You know, in these big family get-togethers where there's 30 of the family, that's a lot of times the only time they even got any use for the preacher, you know. Well, Danny, would you say grace? And I say, grace. And they say, no, we want you to pray. I said, well, you didn't ask me to pray. You said, say grace. But I don't know where they got that. I'm not a Catholic priest. I can't. What kills me is when they say, can you bless the food? And I say, no, but I can ask the Lord to bless it. I can't bless the food. But they say, Danny, would you come and say grace? And so I say, okay. Everybody bow your head. And I wait till they all get quiet. And I do more than just ask the Lord to bless the food. Oh God, if there's anybody in here trying to live wicked, God, get a hold of their heart. We don't know when we're going to die. We don't know when the last time we'll ever breathe. And we may be dead tomorrow. You know, all kind of stuff like that. Take your stand, brother. Take your stand. You say, they'll get mad at me. Well, lovest thou me more than these, the Lord said. Lovest thou me more than these. I know that you know who's got it harder than anybody? It's all you kids that your parents are divorced and you have to go stay with the other one, and you're put in a situation where you got to respect your parents, but if you do respect your parents, you feel like you're doing wrong to the Lord. You're in a heap of trouble. You got it harder than anybody. Because that parent that's not right with God will put the pressure on you to do things that you know are not right.
and you don't want to be a smart aleck and say, oh, you're sinning, you know, I'm right. You can't do that because you seem disrespectful to your dad or to your mom. But on the other hand, I know there's a lot of kids in here in this situation, and I know it's tough on you. It's tough on you. You say, well, Brother Danny, what should I do in a case like that? What you do is, put it like this, God's not unreasonable. God knows your heart. He knows what you're trying to do. And He knows if you really want to be right. And He knows if you're wicked too. He knows if you're wicked and say, well, I'm going to want to go live with the parent that'll let me do wicked. Now, He'll smack your head in if that's your attitude. But if your attitude is, God, I want to do right and I want to serve You. And Lord, I don't want to grieve Your Holy Spirit. But at the same time, I don't want to disrespect my dad or my mother. And I want to, you know, I don't want to do wrong, Lord, but I don't want to be a smart aleck. God knows your heart. God will help you. As long as you do what you think's right, sometimes another person can't tell you what to do in a situation like that. Because you are supposed to honor your father and your mother. But there does come that point. There does come that point where if they try to get you to do something that is absolutely against God, that in my opinion, you have a right to take your stand. You have a right to take your stand. Jesus said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He come to set a man at odds. And we hope none of you kids have to do that. I hope all the time your parents will back you up trying to do right. But if it ever comes right down to it, serve Jesus, serve them. You better serve Jesus. You better serve Jesus. He's the one that died for you. He's the one you're going to answer to. And I don't think you ought to be disrespectful or anything like that. Do you love Him? Do you love Him? Here's the test. John 14. I'll give you this and I'll be through. John 14 is the test of whether you love the Lord. After all, if you really love Him, that's what's going to make you do right. When Brother Danny ain't looking or your parents ain't looking, if you love Him. If you love Him, you'll do right eventually, whether anybody knows it or not. You'll get right. You may wobble, you may stumble, you may mess up, but if you really love the Lord, you're going to get right with God. You can't stand it till you do. And if you really love the Lord, you'll do what the Lord wants you to, even above what you want. Because you love Him more. The song says, I love Him too much to fail Him now. Too much to break my vow. I love Him too much. John 14, oh, I think it's verse 23. Here it is, John 14, 23. Look at it, young people. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. That's strong. If a man love me, he will keep my words. If you really love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to try to do what He wants you to do. That's all there are to it. You're going to try to do what He wants you to do. He didn't say you'd be perfect. He didn't say you wouldn't fall. He didn't say you wouldn't mess up. But if you love the Lord, say like here, say I'm going in my Christian life, you know, and I go over here, and first thing, and fall, and stumble, and mess up. But if you love the Lord, you're going to bounce back up and keep following Him. There's the way you know if somebody loves God. You know you can tell if somebody loves God because they might mess up, but they're going to bounce back. They'll bounce back. They'll keep bouncing back. I've seen people right here in our church been through everything, been through divorce, been through disease, been through all kinds of problems, and they keep bouncing back, bouncing back, bouncing back. You know why? Because they love Him. They love Him. Now what we need to do is fall in love with Him. You say, all right, Brother Danny, how do I fall in love with the Lord? How do I fall in love with the Lord? You know how you fall in love with the Lord? Know Him. To know Him is to love Him. If you know Him, you will love Him. The only way you're going to know Him is read this book and find out who He is and what He's done for you. Spend more time in this book than you do books. Spend more time in this book than you do the TV. Spend more time in this book and on your knee. Talk to Him. Read about Him. Let Him talk to you. You'll fall in love with Him. And when you fall in love with Him, it's a joy to serve Him. It's not a task. Okay? All right, let's stand and bow our heads. Amen. Every head's bowed now. We've talked to you about being in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. And what I want you to do tonight,
I want you to ask yourself this question. Do I love Him? Am I in love with the Lord Jesus Christ?